Amen. What a good reminder. Praise the Lord with the trumpet. Praise Him with the cymbals. Praise Him with the... If you were here a few Sunday nights ago, Chris brought that saxophone. And if you read Psalm 150, you see God telling us, praise Him in all these different ways. And He mentions a lot of things. And so we thank the Lord for you, Chris and Lisa, praising the Lord through these instruments. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this privilege of hearing your voice through your word. Lord, we thank you that it is living, that it is active, that you speak through your word, that we can read the same passage of Scripture over and over again and year after year. And Lord, you just tell us whatever we need to hear at that time, Lord, because your word is living. And we thank you. We thank you that it cuts to our heart, Lord, and that you have revealed yourself in your ways and your expectations. We thank you for this time to look into your word, Lord, to hear your word preached. And we just pray that you'd get the preacher out of the way, get me out of the way, Lord. And we pray that we would hear your message. Open each of our hearts to what you want to tell us and help us to hear it, to receive it, and to obey it. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. And if you're new at this or you don't have your Bible, I want to encourage you to bring your Bible with you. As we prayed about a little bit earlier in that prayer, how we prayed a little bit in Psalm 119, how I love your statutes, God, I love your word, and I meditate on it all the time. And God tells us in Joshua chapter 1 that he gave these promises to Joshua, and they're for us too, that if we'll keep this word in our mouths and meditate on it day and night and do what's written in it, that's where there's blessing. He says in Joshua, you'll be prosperous and successful if we meditate on his word day and night. So have a copy of God's word and keep it with you and read it as much as possible. And then when you come here, bring your copy because you're familiar with yours. But if you don't have one, there's one in the chair there. And this is the New Testament. So you'll see, if you're new at this, this is the last third of the Bible. You'll start seeing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just keep on going and go past the Corinthians. And then you'll see these shorter books, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Look at Philippians 3. And let's look at this passage of Scripture and hear the message that the Lord has for us. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now that is a wonderful passage of Scripture. That is a wonderful truth that we need to get into our hearts if it's not already there. I've memorized that because that's a part of God's Word that helps me anytime I've sinned and I'm dealing with guilt and I won't seem to forget what I've done and I can't seem to move past it. Here's what God hits me with. Derek, you need to forget what is behind and strain on toward what is ahead. I was just visiting with a young man earlier this week, and he was dealing with forgiving himself. And he was saying, I know God forgives me. I know He's forgiven me. But I just can't forgive myself. And he was kind of asking me, you have any thoughts? You know, I can't forgive myself. And this is one place I took him. I told him to imagine a courtroom scene. And you think about this for just a minute. Because here's really, if you think about how all this applies, this is God's truth. If you imagine a courtroom scene and maybe there's some sin that you've committed and sometimes you still remember it, but you've already confessed it and you know the Lord has forgiven it. Or maybe it can just be something that'll ruin your day. You slip up and you sin against the Lord, and before you know it, it's going to ruin your whole day, and you're trying to confess it, and
But why can't you move past it? Well, you're just not believing God's word. He says when you confess it. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The truth is, the moment we confess it as a believer, whatever we've slipped up, whatever we've failed to do or done or whatever, the moment we confess it, He says that He's forgiven us and He purifies us from all unrighteousness. He goes beyond just forgiving. He purifies us from all unrighteousness. But imagine this. You've sinned and that sin is just plaguing you. And so imagine a courtroom scene and your sin is mentioned and that's brought up in the courtroom. And they say, well, so-and-so, and they say your name. Here is so-and-so, and here are the charges. And then your sin is mentioned. Here are the charges against this person. But then all of a sudden you hear the word in the courtroom is, how do you find this person? You hear your name. How do you find this person? And you just did it. You know you did it. How does the court find this person? And what you hear is, not guilty. You say, what? What? I just did that. How can that be? What do you mean, not guilty? I did it. And then it's kind of like the courtroom says, no, you know, for you, we find you not guilty. And then it's kind of like you see the courtroom say, well, now, Jesus Christ, here He is. How do you find Him for this charge? They say, guilty. You say, what? What? I did that. But this is what God has done. This is Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. The word condemnation means to be found guilty and sentenced to punishment. If you're in Christ Jesus, there is therefore now, at this moment, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know what? He was condemned for you. He was found guilty and sentenced to punishment for your sin. Somehow, God took it off of you and He put it on Him. And so you can hear that courtroom scene. And then they say, Jesus Christ, how do you find Him of these charges? Guilty. You see, He was condemned for you. He was found guilty for your sin. He did nothing. He was perfect, but He was found guilty and then sentenced to punishment. And then you hear the court say, what do we do? What's the judgment? Well, eternal death and hell. Separation from God. And so we see Jesus on the cross and we see Him paying our punishment. We see Him experiencing that death and that hell. We see Him experiencing separation from the Father when He says, my God, why have You forsaken Me? And so He's found guilty and sentenced to punishment for our sins. And then you imagine Him dying and He paid it in full. He paid for your sins. And then on the third day, He was raised from the dead. And so now, if you can just envision Him, He's raised from the dead. And where is He? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So you know what? And this is what I told my friend who couldn't forgive himself. I said, you know what? Now, here's what it's like. It's like He and the Father, they're right there. And the Holy Spirit's there too. You know, it's God, one God. Anyway, and so He's there. And it's like He's saying, you know what? We've already forgotten that. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, their sins, here's what God says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. God takes your sin, He's moved it as far away from you as the east is from the west. And so what I see in my mind's eye as I see Jesus and the Father, Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, and there was that charge. He was found guilty, sentenced to punishment. He's raised from the dead. Now smiles on their faces. They're looking at me. But I'm still remembering it. Oh, Lord, I did all this. And it's kind of like God saying, did what? Jesus was already found guilty. The punishment is done. I poured out My wrath on Him. I punished the sin in full until there was no more punishment left for that sin. And then once the punishment was done on Jesus, and we finished it, we're done with it, and then we forgot about it. And that's what God means in Hebrews 10 when He says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And so then you can kind of see the Lord saying to you, hey, so why don't you forget it? Why don't you forget what's in the past and strain on toward the future? We've forgotten it. God doesn't even remember it anymore. So why don't you forget what's in the past and strain on toward the future and serve Me? That's what we
are looking at this morning. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Let's read verses 12 through 21. Let's read this together. Not that I have already, this is the Apostle Paul writing, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So how do we do that? Forgetting what is behind, how do we do what the Apostle Paul did and what God tells us to do? Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Well, first of all, press on toward his goal. That's what we need to do. That's what God's telling us to do in this passage of Scripture. Press on toward his goal, toward God's goal. That's what we see in 12 through 14. Look at it. Not that I, the Apostle Paul, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I haven't arrived yet. So here's what I do. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He presses on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. What's he talking about there? Well, Christ Jesus got a hold of Paul. He used to be named Saul. But Christ Jesus met him on the Damascus Road and appeared to him and knocked him off his horse with the blinding light of Jesus. And the apostle Jesus met with Paul and Paul was transformed. But why did this happen? Jesus had a purpose for Paul. He had plans for Paul. And so he took hold of Paul. He revealed himself to Paul. And Paul believed. And Paul trusted the Lord. And so the Lord began to reveal his purpose for Paul. Well, here's what I've got for you. First, you come to the Lord. You become the Lord's. You give your life to the Lord, and then he begins to show you his purposes. The first step is to become his, to become, as God tells us in John 3:3, to be born again. The first step is to become a new creation, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, new creation in Christ Jesus. And till we admit our sinfulness and we believe that Jesus came and he died for our sins and he's raised from the dead, and so we repent, and we turn from ourselves and sin, we put our faith in Jesus. And we put all our faith in him, and we say, save me, Jesus, come into my life. I give my life to you. And then when that happens, his Spirit gives birth to our spirit, and he deposits his Spirit in us, and the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we become a new creation, and we're born again. And once that happens, he begins to reveal his purpose for you. Now, do this. We're not saved by good words. We're saved for good works. He saves us, and then he says in Ephesians 2:10 that you become his workmanship.
And you're created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for you to do. So he already has all these good works ready for you. He's got these plans and these purposes and this calling for you. And he's got all these things he wants you to fulfill. And the first step is you got to become his. You give your life to him. And then he wants to turn you loose to fulfill all the plans and the purposes, the good works he prepared in advance for you to do. He wants you to find all that and live it out. His purposes for you. And so what did he do? He grabbed the Apostle Paul. He saved him. And then he took hold of him. The Apostle Paul said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So Christ Jesus got the Apostle Paul and he revealed his will for him. He said, here's what I want you to do. You're to do this. You're to share my gospel. You're to do this. And so Christ Jesus took hold of him for that, because he wanted him to do that. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, well, I press on. Jesus took hold of me and he wants to fulfill all these things in my life. And so now I'm pressing on. I'm going to press on and I'm going to reach that goal. Whatever Jesus has for me, his purposes, his plans, the good works he prepared in advance for me to do in my life, I'm pressing on to fulfill it. I'll forget what's in the past. I'll strain on to the future. And I'm going to press on till I reach that goal, till I do everything Jesus is calling me to do. And we see him in Acts chapter 20. And the Apostle Paul says, you see his heart on this matter. And he says, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. You see, he was fulfilling what Christ Jesus took hold of him to do, and he's pressing on to do it. And that's what you need to do. That's what every believer he's calling us to do. Press on toward his goal that he has for you. Forgetting what is behind, you see, if you're always remembering what's behind in your past and your sin, it tangles you up and you can't fulfill all the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. You're all tangled up, focused on the past when you should be focused on Jesus and following him step by step and fulfilling the goals and the plans and everything he's got for you in the future. And that's why it's so important. Forgetting, and he said, the one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining on toward the future. Pressing on. So press on toward his goal. And he says in verse 14 that he presses on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Press on toward the goal to win the prize. Finish the work and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given you to do. That's the call for us right here. You know what it is to press on toward a goal through perseverance. When I was probably 8 or 9, maybe 10 years old, we've always gone down to Marina Bay, Fort Walton Beach, as y'all know. I was gone a couple weeks ago. Same thing. It's a timeshare. I've been going there since I was probably 8 years old. And way back then, when I was going there that same week that we still go, way back then, a friend came with me, but he was a little bit older. I didn't have a friend my age that was able to come, but this guy, he was a friend of mine. He was a brother of a friend of mine, and I knew him, and he was able to come with us. I kind of had a friend down there. Well, his name was Chris, and he was training for a triathlon. He pressed on toward that goal. He wanted to do that triathlon and complete it, and he probably wanted to win it. And he pressed on. And so I saw the evidence of him pressing on toward that goal. We stopped to get McDonald's or whatever on the way to the beach, and he got his patties, and he opened up the buns, and he started soaking all the grease out with napkins and things, and trying to make a way that he could actually have some of this. And then he would wake up super early in the morning. It might have been 5 in the morning. I can't remember what time, but he'd wake up and he'd go to that Marina Bay pool and he'd like swim all these laps before any of us were up. We're on vacation. And then after that, he'd go and run. And I don't know how many miles, but he would go and run. And then he would go up, and Marina Bay has this little exercise room upstairs, and there was a stationary bike. And he would just ride that bike. And he did this every day. And we're on vacation. He was pressing on toward a goal. You know, physical training is of some value. What he was doing and winning that prize. I don't know how he did in the triathlon. I can't remember. But that's of some value. But you know, training for godliness is of much greater value. Do you train like that? Do you press on for the Lord in your relationship so that you'll make sure that you complete all the tasks that the Lord Jesus is calling you to do while you're here on the earth in the short time that you have? So that you don't miss any of it and you make sure you finish every good work that he's prepared in advance for you to do? Are you pressing on like that? The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 9, I believe it is, that that all those who enter a race, only one gets the prize. When you're in a race, only one gets the prize. And run in such a way as to get that prize. Press on. Press on. Forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. Are you doing that? Next, notice the mature will have this view and live up to it. The mature will have this view and live up to it. Look at verse 15 and 16. It says in 15 and 16, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. What view? The view, what we just talked about. Having this goal, you know, knowing the Lord's goal, pursuing it, pressing on toward it. Okay? So all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. So the mature will have this in view, everything that we've just talked about, this goal and reaching it and pressing on. The mature in Christ. If you're mature, you're going to have this view. If you don't have this view, if that's no part of your thinking as a Christian, and you just know you're a Christian and you do the best you can and you go to church, and if you don't have this view, then you need to move to maturity. That's what he's calling us to here. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. So we need to further move on to maturity. We need to get to this point where we're pursuing this goal. We're pressing on. We know the goal and we're pursuing it. And so move on to maturity. Or if I have it, maybe I have this view. Maybe I know the Lord's goals. Maybe I know he's got these good works that he wants to complete in me before it's all over with. And maybe I have an idea of what those are. And maybe I'm on that path. But you know what? If I have that view of things and I'm not living up to it, it's just as bad. I might know what I'm supposed to do, but am I doing it? Am I waking up at 5 a.m. in the morning and swimming those laps, so to speak, spiritually? Am I pressing on? Am I doing it? I might know what the Lord's telling me to do, but am I doing it? I don't know if Jay Wolf originated it, but I love something that I've heard him say before. We are educated far beyond our obedience. The goal is we need to live out what we know. All the things the Lord is telling us to do and he's teaching us. And are we living it out? Are we doing it? Not being a hearer of the word, but a doer. We're educated beyond our obedience. And next, here's the next call. Follow our example and keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So if you want to forget what's in the past, strain on toward the future, then press on toward his goal. The mature will have this view and live up to it. And next, follow our example and keep your eyes on those who live as we do. That's what we see in 17. Join with others in following my example. This is the Apostle Paul saying. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So follow people's example. Follow the Apostle Paul's example. He lived this out. That's why he said in Acts 20, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me to do. Well, that's a good example to follow. He was doing it. So follow him. Follow his example. Whoever you see living in this view, whoever you see doing these things, follow them. I need to look out and I need to see, who do I see doing this? I need to follow their example. If you see me doing that, you need to follow my example. If you see your brothers and sisters, or if you see somebody else doing this, you need to do that. You need to follow their example. And we need to keep our eyes, stay focused on those who live as we do, as the Apostle Paul. Those who are doing this. Stay focused on them. Hang out with those people. I've gone to a Friday morning men's Bible study since about 1997. And you know, the main reason I go right now is, one of the main reasons is, Jay is my mentor, is to be with him, spend some time with him each week, follow his, watch him, see how he interacts with these people, because he's somebody who I see Jesus in, and he's somebody I see doing this. And so I make it a point to try to spend some time with him each week. What about you? Who's your mentor? Whose example are you following? Who do you try to watch? Who do you try to hang out with and say, Lord, they're doing these things you're telling us to do. Let me be with that person. Let me hang out with them. Let me do some of this. Who is it for you? Do you have somebody? Is there somebody you're following? Next, many, remember this, many live as enemies of Christ with minds set on earthly things. That's what we see in 18 and 19. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny, you know, that's why when we pray that prayer a little while ago, that's why the word is saddened. We're saddened as believers by what's recently happened, aren't we? Why? It's right here. For I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. So know that. Know that. As you're forgetting what's behind and straining on toward the future, press on toward his goal. The mature will have this view and live up to it. Follow our example and keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Know this, many live as enemies of Christ with minds set on earthly things. Well, that's any unbeliever. All unbelievers live that way. All unbelievers. Everybody in sin. And so, what do we see there? In 18, as it's broken up, so he has tears over these, and he says, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Well, that's anybody who's not following Jesus. If you haven't repented yet and put your faith in Christ, you're his enemy. You're against the cross of Christ. There's no in between. There's no, I'm just kind of in the middle. No, you're one or the other. Jesus said to those who didn't have the Father yet, he said, your father is the devil. And he was talking to real religious people when he said that, Jews. And there's no in between. And so there's this being enemies of Christ. Now you can go further and further and be a worse and worse enemy and be more vocal about it. But until we're following him, we're going against him. Their destiny is destruction. It ends in hell. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it ends in death. Destruction, hell is the end for those who are against the Lord, not following the Lord. Their God is their stomach. Well, what does that mean? Their appetites and desires come first. And that's what we see. And you know, when you think about the recent things going on, you know, if I'm somebody and one of the things that I struggle with is a same-sex attraction, well, it's the same. It's just a sin like any other sin. I can either repent and turn to Jesus and find freedom, like I've got a friend who's he lived that lifestyle as a homosexual and struggled in that, and And now he does a ministry, and he's helping other men that are coming out of that through Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus. It's a sin just like any other sin. Jesus can transform people and help them to follow him. But just like that sin with any other sin, it's all the same. It's all the same that our own appetites, if we go the way of our sin, we're following our appetites. Our stomach is our God, so to speak. We're following our own appetites and desires, and those come first. And their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Anyone who won't turn to the Lord, their mind is on earthly things. Anyone who won't turn to the Lord. But here's our last point. But we are citizens of heaven and wait on him to transform us. Look at 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies. That's what happened to my recent friend who used to live the homosexual lifestyle. This is what happened. When he found Christ and gave his life to Christ, it enables him that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And of course, we know he transforms our whole lives. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this call, Lord, to press on. Help us to forget what's in the past, strain on toward what's ahead. Help us to press on toward your goal. Help us to be mature and live out this view, Lord. Help us to follow the example of those who are doing it around us. And Lord, help us to know that many, you said broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. Narrow is the path that leads to life. Only a few find it. Help us to know that many live as enemies of you, of Christ, with minds set on earthly things. And so help us to reach them in your love as we are your ministers of reconciliation to bring them to yourself, Lord. And Lord, thank you that we are citizens of heaven and we wait upon you to transform us. May we live these things out. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you are giving your life to Jesus this morning and you've admitted your sinfulness and you've believed what he did for you when he paid for your sins on the cross and he's raised from the dead, and you imagine that courtroom scene, and if you want all that to apply to you, that courtroom scene and what Jesus did for you, give your life to him. Just trust in him. Just call on him. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And Chris is going to lead us in a song. And if that's the cry of your heart, if you just want to give your life to Jesus and trust him to save you from your sins and turn away from anything you've been trying to do to be good or anything you've been trying to contribute to get you to heaven, if you're ready to do what God says and turn from any of that and just turn totally to Jesus and say, Jesus, save me. Come into my life. Come down one of these aisles when Chris leads us in this song, and we want to celebrate that with you. And if you're joining this church, maybe that God's telling you this is the place you need to be, then come as Chris leads us in this song. Whatever the Lord's telling you, you do it. You can pray at your seat or the altar.